first Sunday in a long time that Dawn or I haven't talked to you until the sermon. So it's kind of nice to see that we have people in this church who are willing to do the work of the Lord and to carry out God's plan upon their life. And I'm really excited to be with you this morning on this beautiful Mother's Day. As you heard Ethan already read from John chapter 19, 25 through 27, that's where we're going to be this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and be turning to John chapter 19, 25 through 27. And I want to simply begin by a statement that many of you probably saw on the church sign this morning as you came in. Jesus cared for his mother. I mean, he really cared for her. You see, the common belief was that Mary had been following along with Jesus through this portion of his ministry, and that he was relying on them for support for Jesus and the disciples. And in one of Jesus' weakest moments, as he nears the cross of Calvary, just before death, he had his own mother on his mind. So the question for us is, what does it look like today for us to be a good son or daughter? That is, to our heavenly Father and to our earthly parents as well. What should the parent-child relationship really look like? To answer these questions, I think we need to get to the root of Jesus' exchange with Mary here as he journeyed to Calvary. Really, the root of what was happening here was shown in Christ's sincere heart. You see, what we are seeing is the heart of our Savior unfiltered. This was him pouring out completely. Jesus' spirit was concerned. I imagine he wanted to know his mother was going to be okay. So he looks toward the disciple, who many speculate was John, but there wasn't much confirmation on that. And then he looks back to his mother and he tells his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." We can look into the depth of this conversation and the depth of the heart of what was happening here and see that Jesus was compassionate. He cared for his mother. Jesus sincerely cared, though. He didn't just care. Because a man does not find in his weakest moment those words unless he sincerely cares. Look at the emotional toil that was at play here in the life of Jesus and the physical pain as he neared the cross. At this moment, Christ was ever near to death. He'd been through it, if you will. The previous days had been hard. He'd been beaten. He'd been mocked. He'd been forgotten. And yet as he neared Calvary's mountain, his mother was on his heart and he looks to the disciple to care for her. And we often think about how hard this must have been for Mary, and it certainly was. As she watched her son die an unworthy death. Though, we don't realize that just this exchange between Jesus and his mother was likely equally just as difficult for Jesus. Friends, when you look at the heart of Christ, have you ever considered what he did for you and I on an emotional level? Have you ever considered that Christ's sincere and caring heart apply to you and I? You see, this was no easy task. In pain, Christ cared. Therefore, in following Christ's example, we should have the same heart for our mother, should we not? So, I want to ask you today, what does that look like exactly? Well, in the following example of Christ, Christ cared first about the gospel. You see, we talk about the toil it took on Mary and Jesus emotionally. Perhaps the most difficult aspect of what was happening here is that Christ could have stopped it. Yet, He did not, because the lives of you and I were of more significance to him than his own physical and emotional pain. He knew that the plan of God was to redeem the world and to give us hope for an eternity solely on his blood-wrenched death on the cross. He knew that the only way for the world to come back into completion was for him to die. You see, this is why he said in Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 26 to 27, which has already been read, he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." Friends, these verses, they get such a bad report. They make people feel as though Jesus said to not care for one's family. Yet we know that Jesus never contradicts himself, so why can he say in one place to leave your father and mother, to forsake them, and in the next care for Mary compassionately? You see, he showed us on his journey to the cross that he truly cared for his mother. Had he not cared for his mother, he would let whatever happened happen, if you will. Meaning he would have stopped it. Because if Christ truly cares about his mother, he has to go to the cross of Calvary and die. What Christ was simply saying in Luke was that whoever is going to live for him has to live for him completely. That is to say, we cannot put earthly father and mother ahead of missions of Christ and relationship with God the Father. That is to say that we can't put our own lives in above the mission of Christ and God the Father. Jesus set this in his example to the cross. By willingly leaving his mother in the hands of the disciple and journeying to the cross, he proved he cared for God's mission above the world's. So friends, what does this really mean for us today? Well, I think what it really means is, what's really at play here is our two calls as children. You see, we're children of the Most High God. We're all children in some way, shape, or form. Even if our earthly mother and father are no longer with us, we are children to God the Father. And even if we were blessed to have never met our mother and father, we're still children to God the Father. You see, in this exchange between Mary and Jesus, we see a very similar dynamic. Jesus had his earthly mother along with his heavenly father. And this really is significant because we love our earthly family just as Jesus did. But it's important by the standards of Christ that we love them so much that we are willing to live for the mission of the Most High God. You see, some have forsaken the love of the Heavenly Father in order to appease those on this earth. Many of us see this dynamic in our own families. A child who depends on their mother and father for everything, who's never grown up. A mother or father who refuses to let their child grow up. You see, these are only a couple of examples. But I'm certain many of you have encountered times in your life or in your family lives in which you have seen dynamics in your own families or in families you've been watching from the outside where Christ was at second hand. He wasn't as important as what was going on there. And these are the products of a world that does not care for Christ. You see, this begins to clarify us for us today. Because we want to ask, what is our cause? I think the two calls that Christ has given us, our calls are simply to love Christ so much that we follow in his plan for our lives, and also to love our family so much that we follow in Christ's plan for our life. Notice the correlation. Our two calls both involve following Christ. You see, we cannot really have one without the other. We can't really love our families until we follow Christ's call on our life. And this leads us to where we are now. Using the dynamic of Jesus and Mary as an example of what these relationships should look like. You see, many today have forsaken the call of the gospel. And therefore, they've forsaken their Lord because they refuse to leave the very gifts in which Christ has given them stagnant and still. Though He blessed us with a family, we have to be willing to give it up for Him. Though He blessed us with a house, we have to be willing to give it up for Him. Though He blessed us with finances to take care of ourselves, we have to be willing to give it up for Him. If we are not following in the example of Jesus Christ, how is it we can ever really love our family like Christ loved them? You see, Christ couldn't love Mary until He followed the mission on His life. We're called to kingdom work first, and then we can focus on the rest beyond that. While we forsake the call of the Father, we are convinced often that we are doing so in love. We love our family, right? But yet what we're really acting in is disobedience. Because to love our family is to love Christ. Because we cannot truly be helpful to them until God has all of us. We have to be willing to give our complete self to our Lord in order to be able to live a life in which our family is truly loved by us, truly cared for by us. And like Jesus, we can't care for our mother until we follow Christ's call on our life. And all of us should ask ourselves, what does God really mean to me? So in our final point for today, I want us to contemplate, what does God mean to us? You see, to Christ, God the Father meant everything. Though He loved and was thankful for those who was part of His earthly life, they did not come above the kingdom. He was kingdom first minded, if you will. Christ was going to follow God's plan on His life. His plan was ultimately to die on the cross so that His blood could be shed for all of mankind. Let me ask you this. How could He really love Mary in this way? Because if He didn't die on the cross of Calvary, His blood was not shed, and it wasn't shed for her either. He had to journey to the cross. He had to die before He could care for her. In other words, we must be good children to our Heavenly Father. We must follow His call if we're going to care for those in our life. In fact, I would challenge us today, what would it look like in our own life if we followed the example of Jesus Christ and began to act in the way He acted and to view the gospel in the way He viewed the gospel and to care for those on earth the way that He cared for those on earth? For Jesus, He had a primary mission. He was going to complete that mission first and foremost. Yet Jesus, not being separated from the emotional side of humanity, displayed the same emotion many of us would display. What about my mother? He cared for His family. He cared for His friends. In fact, He cared for them so much that He was willing to die for them. If we are to follow in His example, the kingdom of the Lord must mean everything to us. Yet we should still care for our earthly family as well. And the way we do that is to follow the mission of Christ. It is not by mistake that Jesus put those in our life just as He cared for His mother Mary. We are called to care for our earthly parents. The only restriction, the gospel comes first. And all that we do, the truth that when we are called to move, we move. When we are called to go, we go. When we are called to tell, we tell. When the Holy Spirit leads our life, we have to act regardless of what emotional or physical aspects may harm us in the earthly manner. When the Holy Spirit moves, we have to follow. When we do this simply to follow the example of our Savior and care for God first, then we can truly can compassionately care for our families. I want to ask you once again, is God first in your life today? Or are the things in this world a priority? The truth is that when Christ is first, those within our families are blessed even more. Their lives will be forever changed by your willingness to follow Christ's lead. You see, parents, when a mother or father loves their child, as Mary loved Jesus, and this one might hurt a little bit for some of us, we have to be willing to allow our children to follow God's call in their life. That don't always feel good. Think about it. Because what we're really doing, my mother-in-law often says, and I always kind of liked this, she said that we were raising adults. So in other words, she's saying we're raising them to leave us and to follow God's call. And I always kind of liked that. Guys, that's what we're doing today. As I'm a new father this year, I have to think about that in my prayer life, in my life leading Judson, that I'm raising him to follow God's call in his life. And I pray today that if you're a parent in here, that you are raising your children to follow God's call in their life, even if that means it might hurt a little bit. It was certainly a painful experience for Mary to witness Jesus' agonizing death on the cross, yet she did so because she knew he had a mission and he had to follow it. And as much as it may hurt, she had to let him go because that was God's intended purpose for the life of Christ. Parents, grandparents, I want to encourage you today to not forget before they were your children or your grandchildren, they were God's. He has a purpose and a will for their life, and if you stand in the way of that in hopes to keep them with you, then you have hindered the call of the gospel instead of the way of God himself. In the same manner, if you're here today and you're waiting to follow God's call, in hopes that you could stay with your family, in hopes that you could care for them, in hopes that you could love them. In the likes of Jesus, his love for his mother was only truly shown through his death on the cross. And as much as he desired to stay back emotionally, he must go. Friends, in the same way, if God's calling you to whatever it may be, you must go. God had called Christ. Friends, if you are saved today, one important thing to remember is God has a calling on your life. If your family is saved, he has a calling on their life. So I ask you today as a son or a daughter to your heavenly Father and to perhaps your earthly parents still, if they're still living as well, where is your heart? Towards your earthly family, where is your heart? The most important question that we can ask ourselves today is, do you really desire for God's will and purpose on their life and yours? You see, if you do, you have to be willing to follow the call of Christ today, and you have to be willing to allow them to follow the call of Christ today. And in the example of Jesus Christ and his dear mother Mary, we see the exchange between them. Are you willing to let go so that God can mold and make a masterpiece today? You see, God can do something amazing in your family. It simply begins by you being a good son or a good daughter or a good mother or a good father. Friends, maybe you are here today and you say, I have been holding back the lives of my family. I thought I could keep them, but I realize today that the only thing I'm doing is standing in the way of God. Friends, if that is you today, I pray that you would come, you would kneel, that you would plead forgiveness from God. You don't want to be the one standing in the way of God. Get out of his way and let him work. Or maybe you're here today, like the parable of Jesus, you are unwilling to forsake the lives of those around you in order to follow Him. You're unwilling to forsake the possessions or whatever it may be in your life that is holding you back. You're unwilling to leave it. Perhaps there is sin holding you from salvation, or simply possessions and people holding you from His calling. But friends, if that is you today, would you come? Would you plead to the Father for His forgiveness? Friends, whatever it may be, perhaps you feel called to church membership, salvation, or rededication. But would you follow God's call today? Would you come to the altar today and lay your burdens down? Friends, I fear that many of us in this world today are unwilling to follow the call of Christ when He speaks. Friends, if He's speaking to you, don't hold back another day. The truth is, we can't really care for our families. We can't really love our mother or our father or our children. We can't really do anything in this life until we care enough to follow the call of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, as I come before You, I am so thankful for those mothers who are with us today. Father, that they were willing today to bring their children to church. And Father, I just pray today that they would not stop it there. Father, that mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and grandchildren or whatever it may be, Father, that they would truly see today what it is to care for their family. Father, help us to seek You. Father, when You call, help us to answer. Help us to move. Father, may we not hold back today in fear of what another might think or in fear of how it may make us not feel so good. But Father, as Your Spirit moves in this place today, may we move with it. And Father, may the words that were said here change our life. You've given us truth today. Mold us and make us with that truth. Father, I pray today that there's one here. I pray that they would come, that they would give their life to You, that they would rededicate their life to You, Father, that they would live abundantly for Your purpose and Your will in their life. I say this in Your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. Brother Marty.
Stand, please. Number 414, Softly and Tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. calling, O sinner, come home.
Thank you all for being with us on this beautiful Mother's Day. I want to thank you all you mothers again, for all you do in our lives. I'm going to ask that Brother Randy Williams would come and dismiss us.